Hi guys, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. This is Erica Smith and Nicole Carter bringing you all of the information that we are learning every single day in our journeys in personal health with our guts and also with our clients in gut health. So we've got a great episode for you today. Please listen in and share this episode with someone else you think might benefit from a little gut health love. Welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast with Erica Smith and myself, Nicole Carter. We have an interesting show today. We've been talking about all the things that we're doing in this year of 2022. And so we have an interesting topic today that is becoming more and more popular among women. And I think you're going to like it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So welcome back, everyone. Like Nicole said, today I actually have the pleasure of interviewing Nicole for the second time. If you haven't actually listened to her initial interview, you should go back in the time machine that is scrolling up on our podcast list and listen to her story, because it is an amazing story. And today we're talking about a new part of her journey. This year, Nicole is focusing on what I'm going to coin cleanup.
Yeah.
And her first step on this was a big one. And you definitely wasted no time in getting right to it. In the beginning of their year, you actually had your breast implants removed. So,
yep, January 3rd.
Before I get into asking you the 20,000 questions, Nicole, I want to go over some things that I read on the World Wide Web regarding breast implants and the risks. And this was literally just this morning that I got on, and these were mentioned on the FDA website as risks to breast implants. And there were nine of them that they had as their focus. The first one was implant complications. And those included breast pain or changes in nipples and breast sensations, which seemed pretty minor, although, you know, some people might want to remain with nipple sensations. The number two on that was additional surgeries that would require either removal or any additional surgery in that, not always removal. Number third was capsular contracture. And that might seem complicated to our listeners, so I'm going to sort of talk a little bit more about that one. There were four grades that the FDA considered in capsular contracture. Grade one was just normal. Grade two was when your breast started looking a little bit firm, but still looked normal. Grade three was firm and starting to look abnormal. And grade four was where the breast was hard, it was painful, and the breast actually started to look abnormal. Both three and four were recommended or considered severe and should require operation. This is something that if you've been on Netflix watching any sort of documentary on, you know, the adverse reactions of breasts, you've probably seen to our listeners, where the breast just sort of contracts and your breasts seem different in size, and these women do experience some pain. And as you're stepping into the office, the risk of this happening is only 10 to 13% as you walk in, never done this before. Mm-hmm. But if you walk in and this has happened to you and you walk in and get your breast done again, your chances of this happening increase to 50%.
Yeah, insane.
And the symptoms can start happening as early as 3 to 4 months after the implants. Mm-hmm. I saw more on the web as I searched a little bit more that it took more like 2 years, but it can happen 3 to 4 months, and the symptoms can build up. So you could be for 2 years or 5 years experiencing on and off these symptoms of tightness and pain and deformation of your breast. So it can, you know, it can happen.
Totally.
Slowly. Number four, they had rupture and deflation. And I think we've all heard of the random case where a breast implant has deflated. I'm not sure how random it is nowadays, but
yeah.
Number five was actual cancer. So there is some association with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is cancer of the immune system, which is interesting. And I want to just sort of point that out. Again, it's an immune response because there's a foreign body entity in there. Number six was connective tissue disease, like breast cancer or reproductive problems. And number seven was systemic symptoms. Again, I want to go a little bit more into this one, because when you're sitting in the chair and you're going over risk and somebody says systemic symptoms, that's pretty generalized.
Yeah.
But nowadays they actually have coined a term for this, and it's called breast implant illness. And the symptoms and what causes them is in the FDA literature says it's poorly understood. And in some cases, the removal of the breast implant without the replacement would reverse the symptoms. So
in cases, yeah.
These systemic symptoms, as they say, mean that you could have some problems from your breast implants that might show up. We don't really understand why or how, and that there is a chance, even when you remove the breast implant, that your symptoms might not actually go away and you will suffer with breast implant illness forever. And then there was breastfeeding. I think when you're young and you're getting breast implants, you don't even think about breastfeeding. But there are some women that undergo breast augmentation and successfully breastfeed. Some cannot.
Yeah.
Which is completely interesting. And then there is some questionability as to if there is some of the silicone actually in the breast milk or not. And I don't think that that's been proven or disproven.
Yeah. A lot of unanswered questions. And one thing I wanted to call attention to was on your, at the very beginning, when you were going through these, your number two was the removal of, you know, having additional surgeries. And the information that you find says removal of the device. And so I just want people to remember that we are dealing with a medical device. It's not just a bag of plastic. It's a medical device. And if you know anything about medical devices in the pharmaceutical world, they come with very little testing or regulation and yet are approved by the FDA. And there is actually a great, and maybe you mentioned it, a great movie on Netflix.
I don't remember the name.
Is escaping me. Yeah.
Entering.
But it's all about basically the risks of different kinds of medical devices and the processes that they go through. And remember, these companies make a lot of money off of these. A lot. Yeah.
So I think, so I talked about the documentary on surgeries gone bad, sort of. And you see a lot of that connective tissue issues that people are having and the breast implants getting that capsular development around them. So, but there is that documentary that you're specifically talking about. And what it states, basically, I had no idea that this went on this way, but the patent for some things go through rigorous, you really have to go through a lot in order to get that patent, unless you grandfather in to one that's already been established because your medical device is similar enough to the one that got the patent to begin with or that got approved by the FDA to begin with. Most of the medical devices that are out there do not go through the rigorous steps because they just grandfather into that. Whether that's good or bad, because you know there's good and bad to that as well, right? Because some devices are really, really helpful and it would take years and years for them to pass through. So again, what this falls on is it's your knowledge that matters. It's your decision that matters. And you have to know what the risks are and be okay with those risks because you are only watching out for yourself. Companies are making their money. That's what they're there to do. So first and foremost, thank you for opening up about this and sharing with our listeners this part of your journey to good health, because it is a pretty private issue for most people. So again, thank you. My question to you is, why did you get the implants to begin with?
Yeah, after I had my kids, so I had two kids, and I breastfed them both 3 years each. And I was kind of on the thin side. And so I just really had no breast tissue left. And it was very, I call them my ski slopes. They were very saggy. And I just really was not okay with the way that they looked. And, you know, I'll be straight up here that I think that social media played a really big part in you know, just comparing myself to people that I saw, and I liked that look better, and I wanted to look like that. And so I did. And I think that there's an enormous amount of social pressure on women to look a certain way. And it can get to us, whether it's a certain size or breast size, or now it's butt size or eyelashes, or I mean, pick anything, right? And women are constantly bombarded with all of this pressure to look a certain way. So I think it was a bit of insecurity on my part, and also just, you know, buying into the comparison and the social media aspect of, you know, doing this. I have pictures of me doing some bikini modeling before I had my breast implants, and I look back and I was like, it was fine. But I think at that time I looked at myself and go, how can I do this with these small little boobs? And believe it or not, like, that was what I thought. And now I just can't even believe I would think that way, but I'm also more than 10 years older. So yeah. So I think it was really comes down to, I wanted a certain look to feel more comfortable in my body. And yeah, I mean, at the time I was married, and I would not even take my bra off to like have sex with my husband. That's how bad I felt about myself.
So there's definitely, you know, a lot of pluses again to these as well, right? Because your confidence boosted after you had that. So regardless, you know, we'll get a little bit deeper into why that's actually still good, right? And why you can say that was a decent decision to make at that point, and you had valid points, and it was helpful at that point for you to do that, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the whole social media and the pressure of that. And I didn't know when I was going to throw this in there, but I think it's a great time to say that the top 10 breast implant countries.
Oh,
can you, number one.
Yes.
Number one United States.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know, but we had 313,000 breast implants done in this country last year.
Wow, that's crazy.
This country, right? Because we still know that there are people in this country that travel outside of the country to get their breast done.
Yeah, that's
number
true.
Was Brazil with 226,000 cases. So there is definitely a lot of pressure in Brazil. Although I think that some of the women from here are actually traveling to Brazil.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
People are traveling to Brazil. They're known for, you know, their breast implants. And then we drop down to number three, and that country only has 57,000 cases, and that's Mexico. So pretty interesting there. And then Greece was at the very bottom, although they say it could be higher because they travel to Bulgaria because it's cheaper.
Interesting.
UK, number one. Notice the dramatic number here. It is 30,000 cases in the UK. Again, the USA had 313,000 and Brazil 226,000. I mean, that is a major
difference. That's huge. Interesting.
And if you want to go somewhere where it's pretty affordable, Spain. It only costs $2,500 to get a breast implant.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't know if this was part of your talk later, but it's not that expensive to get breast implants in. So I think I paid $5,000 or maybe less to have my implants put in.
Wow.
To get them out, it cost me $13,000.
Wow.
Yeah, something you never consider or think about when you're getting implants is when they're going to come out and how they come out, because it's a major surgery to get them out.
It's always harder to do things.
Man, I don't regret what I did because I think it helped me at the time, and I needed that, and I learned. But I mean, in some ways I regret because I didn't have, you know, illness. And I don't want to dip into your questions because I know you have more.
So
but
let's just go into that. Yeah. You know, we talked about these risks, and we know that the FDA has changed the labeling on these recently. So I don't even know if all of these were there. So did you know of the risks, and did you feel like you were well informed by the doctors, the nurses, the media?
Not at all. I did a little bit of research because, you know, I have always been very health conscious, but I think my desire to feel more secure with myself trumped that, to be quite honest, because I probably could have dug harder. But I did do a little research, and I didn't find much. I really didn't find much of anything other than that they could leak, whatever, you know, I got the silicone implants. So I did not find much. And when I asked my doctor, my surgeon, point blank, you know, are there health risks to these? And he was like, no, yeah. No, there really isn't. And now they have a black box warning on these breast implants because of all the risks that are being acknowledged. And I still think that they aren't acknowledged to the extent that they should be, because most women are told by their doctors that nothing is wrong with them, even when they complain of numerous things. And So
I think risks have changed. And like I said, I think they've added some. I don't know that, I'm glad that you're saying what I thought or reinforcing that, you know, back when you had them done, which was how many years ago?
So 10 year, I think it was 2012, 13. I think it was 2013. Yeah. Okay. So almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years ago. The data that was coming from the doctor was there's not much. And I wish we could have somebody on, and maybe we can find somebody that's been recently had their breast implants, and just to kind of see what the risks were stated to write. I think that might be something to look into. So did you experience with your implants, and did you experience any of these risks that we mentioned?
So I did not have anything wrong to my knowledge. I did not have any problems with the implants. I've known friends that have had one go up into their, you know, near their shoulder, like craziness, but I did not personally have any particular problems that stood out from the implants themselves. I did, however, have some interesting things happen that now looking back that I wonder if it was because of my implants. You know, and there are other factors. So, you know, I was on a no carbohydrate diet during this time. So that could have been a factor, but I had more anxiety, and I even had some times where I would wake up in the night with a panic attack. And felt like I was having a heart attack, and that happened.
No way anybody would think that's a breast implant.
No. And, you know, one thing I noticed, in the time right before I had my breast implants out, I had noticed that I had an achy wrist for a few months. It just, and I didn't injure it. Nothing happened. It just was bothering me for months. And then after I had the implants out, pretty much right away, it went away and
incredible.
Has not come back. So I don't know, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you can't pinpoint, but are they coincidental?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not, you know, it's hard to say.
So what's the timeline? Because most of our listeners know that you suffered with ulcerative colitis for a while. What's the timeline between the implants and the ulcerative colitis? Is there any relatability?
Not really, because I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis in 2012.
Okay.
And then I got the implants after.
Okay.
And I always remember because I had a photo shoot that I cut weight for. And so I got very thin because it was a bikini shoot. And I got very thin for that. And I remember having flare-ups right after that was when I started seeing blood. And that was when I, you know, still had my natural boobs. And I did something not long after I got the implants, another shoot, and I looked significantly bigger. Like I had, you know, hadn't changed anything, but I had looked to gain weight or maybe was swollen. So I remember distinctly being before and after with regards to like my stomach. And yeah, so I always thought that, you know, people did ask me along the way, are they, you know, are you having ulcerative colitis because of your implants?
Yeah.
Could it have made it worse? Maybe. I think that our bodies do become more inflamed when you have implants. I've seen that numerous times. It wasn't always that way for me, but I think in the latter few years, I did become more inflamed. So it's really hard to separate out everything. I have had thyroid issues for up on and off for quite, I think, a long time. But a few years ago, I was noticing them coming back during my carnivore days. And that was part of the reason why I stopped doing carnivore. And I kind of wonder, I've heard other people say that they have similar symptoms while having breast implants. And so I kind of wonder if the stress on the body impacts the thyroid, and maybe what they're having is hypothyroidism as a result of the stress. I don't know. I'm totally speculating, but this is the kind of things that you see among women with breast implant issues. And there are women that have no issues.
Yeah.
And women that think they have no issues.
How do we know we don't have issues, right?
So that's it.
Sleep and anxiety related or not related, if we understand inflammation for what it is. And that's why I said, you know, the actual studies are showing you can have cancer, and look at the type of cancer that it goes for. Hodgkin's lymphoma, straight up immune system issues here,
right,
which means that you're overloading already. On top of that, the capsular contracture, that is an immune response to a foreign body, you know?
Right. We should talk about that too.
Yeah. Your tissues or your body is actually creating this little vessel where it encapsulates the actual implant or the device, as you said, because it is a foreign item. And eventually, you know, that is a constant process that's happening. So regardless of if you're having issues or not, your body is constantly protecting you from a foreign object that you have in your body. If you can, you know, you can't say that your body is not being overloaded then if it's constantly acting to protect you on now multiple, you know, you're adding fronts. So it's that adding of things. When I say, should you eat peanut butter? Well, you know, in my head, I wouldn't eat peanut butter 3 times a day because I know what it does to my gut. It's constantly attacking it. Why am I doing that? I have control of not doing that. There are other things in this world that are attacking me constantly. So in my, you know, in my head, I'm not going to add on to the stress. And if you do, there are symptoms, I think, that will never be able to be linked, but will likely be related because you have constant inflammation in your body there and other places as well, guaranteed, because we don't live in a bubble, right? And we all have, you know, even you and I, you know, our gut microbiome is probably better than a lot of people, but we're constantly working on getting it better because it constantly gets attacked.
Yeah. I think that people just don't realize the extent of it. I was just chatting with another girl this last weekend about my explant, and she was saying how she had heard about, you know, people having problems, but that she herself didn't have any problems. However, she was telling me a few minutes later about how she has anxiety, really bad anxiety. And I thought, I'm not going to say anything because people just got to be ready for it. But I think that there's a direct connection. And one of the things, I mean, there's a long list of breast implant illness symptoms, very long, because it can be so many different things, but anxiety is on the list and a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, anxiety is just reeling our communities. So there could be a myriad of things, but we're just kind of adding, you know, flames here to our fire. It just gets higher and higher with everything that we choose.
Yeah. So
how was the removal process for you compared to the implant process? So I know you said there was a cost difference.
Oh yeah. The surgery itself is way more intense. So to put it into perspective, right after I got my implants, a few days later, I was teaching yoga and bar. So I was right up and out teaching. The recovery was small. I had incisions around the lower half of the nipple, so you couldn't really see it. It wasn't a whole lot of incisions. It was, you know, you wore a tight bra for a few weeks and that was it. So very simple. On the other hand, having an explant, so when you get the explant, you want to remove the capsule that you mentioned, because the capsule can potentially absorb toxins from the implants. And so it's recommended that you get a total capsulectomy, which is basically removing the implant and the capsule that it comes with. So you cannot just cut through the nipple. You actually have to make a huge incision underneath each breast. And so it is a major chest wall surgery. And in a lot of cases, including mine, that capsule can grow and spread. And in my case, it was attached to the rib cage. So it's a major, major surgery. And I can tell you that for the first 2 weeks, I couldn't do a single thing. In fact, you can't even lift your arms for a couple weeks. You can't shower for a week. It's very intense. And it was a 6-hour surgery versus a 1-hour surgery.
Wow. That's crazy to think of. That is why, you know, it's hard to tell where the line ends and where it starts. And that, you know, that capsule is one of the biggest things, right? And it's going to be attached to the rest of your body. So yeah, you're disconnecting this whole ball that's being supplied with nerves and blood vessels. And there is tissue, that connective tissue that is holding it in place as well. So you're literally just taking this whole piece out. I like how you said that they could possibly absorb toxins that were like, that's exactly what it's doing. It's protecting.
That's what its job is. Yeah. That's really literally what it does.
Yeah. If there wasn't a toxin or something foreign, it wouldn't have been created by your body. But I want listeners to really take a step here. If you are considering to do this, that, you know, even a person that wasn't quote unquote having any issues with it, or a person that, you know, was happy with the results they got emotionally and mentally from it, you still had the capsule there. You still had the immune reaction to the medical device that was implanted in you. So just keep that in mind and know that is one of the risks that you're constantly working immunologically in the breast area when you get one of these devices placed in. So if you knew what you knew then, what you know now, would you get the implant?
No, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't because, you know, the cost, the surgery, we all heal, you know. In my case, I feel pretty good. I have a B cup now. I used to have I have probably a small B. I was a D. I have friends that went from double D to like minus A. They just have zero tissue. So I feel lucky that I at least do have some. But I think in hindsight, for someone that was in my position that really didn't like their breasts, I don't think you should have to just deal with it. You know, it's hard to say, to tell people, just accept your body, because if you don't, you don't. And it's hard to work on that. But there are other options. And I did get a lift along with my breast implant removal. So that, I think, would have been the better option. If you really don't like what you have, then you can get a lift. You don't have to have a medical device inserted. And that would probably be, if I knew what I know now, I would go that route and just have them lift it a little bit. And I think you can even get, I didn't do this because I hear it's extremely painful and the recovery is even longer, but you can even get a fat transfer. So they can literally pull fat out of your waist or your butt or your arms or wherever you don't want it and put it into your boobs. And how great is that? The downside, besides the pain, is that the fat can migrate and it oftentimes gets reabsorbed into the body. But, you know, there are options, I guess. And so in hindsight, I would not get implants. I would save the money, the hassle, and perhaps just get a lift.
Yeah, I think I like that idea. I think lifts are good. You're using, I'd say anything that enhances what you already have, right? They have, what is it, that PRP? Is it PRP that they do?
Yeah, or the facials.
The PRP facials, yeah, where you just, you know, promote the collagen.
Yeah.
They have something like that for your breasts as well, where they inject like stem cells and can get more collagen production. It's probably more expensive, but you're using your own stuff.
Yeah.
Even better. Fat cells, because they don't migrate or they don't get
reabsorbed. Yeah, I think people should really consider before, you know, I know that your mind is on looking and feeling better, but you have to consider there are risks. Also, they got to come out at some point, even if nothing goes wrong with them, because I really could have said, I don't have any problems, even though I think looking back, I probably was. Mm-hmm. I could have said that and left them in until they rupture, but your risk of rupture increases exponentially after 10 years. And that was what my reasoning, that was what pushed me to do it, was I don't want to wait till I'm sick, because a lot of people do get really sick. And once those things rupture, just imagine all of the toxins from the inside of that bag being released into your body. And now you cannot get it out.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get it out and to clean your body and detoxify. And it's not that it's just there, you have symptoms. And I've read really horrific stories of women's lives being devastated from breast implant illness, breast implants rupturing, and they really never aren't the same again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm definitely glad that you're not on that boat. And I feel, you know, immensely for women that did end up there. In fact, there's several girls that I follow on Instagram that, you know, do struggle with this. And I'm praying that one or both of them will come on our show and talk a little bit about it. But, you know, it's definitely something to consider, guys. And keep in mind, there's other options as well. I wanted breast implants for the longest time, for sure. And I kept saying, I'll wait. And my reasoning to wait was because I said, you know, I'll just get them when I'm older so that I only have to replace them once if needed. And, you know, that theory or that main train of thought has kept me from getting them. And now I'm like, eh, forever, whatever. It's fine.
Right. So, you get past the point, I think, of like that, you know, shallowness. I don't know. I hate to say it shallow, but I really do feel like we want to feel good. You know, women just want to feel and look good. They want to look sexy to their partner. And, you know, I'll be honest, other people, you want other people to see you as attractive. And mm-hmm. I think that that's part of human nature. So I don't discount people. I don't think it's a bad thing. I am all for doing things that you can do to make yourself look and feel however you want. You know, I really don't give people a hard time for those kind of feelings and actions, but I do think you can weigh it out and maybe choose just something that has a better cost benefit analysis.
Yeah. And just be aware of the risk and what it would feel like. And I want to empower people that get any sort of medical device to know that your feelings are valid. Just because they're not related in a piece of study, if you started having issues after the device went in, there is a lot of truth in that. There, just because it's not been published in a research or your doctor told you it's not there, it doesn't mean it's not happening. So I want to validate people.
Yeah. You know, I read a story, and this is, you'll see this in the movie on Netflix. We'll have to look it up for the end of the show, but it was an actual doctor who had a knee replacement. And he had a full mental illness breakdown. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so he couldn't find anything in the literature to support that, what was going on, but it was, there was mm-hmm. no denying it. And so finally, like, he created his practice around helping people that were sick from devices, medical devices, such as this knee, artificial knee. So if that's possible.
What it was, titanium or something else.
Yeah.
He was allergic to one of them.
Yeah.
Insane.
But the implant. But so it just goes to show you, like, that we know, we're aware of that. So why not, a synthetic plastic bag, you know, with silicone or even saline. I mean, you see that there's women that have ruptured or mold inside them. There are clear problems when they come out, but you also have people where it comes out and it's normal, but they've had symptoms just like the knee replacement. So I think you just can't deny it just because the literature doesn't show it. Maybe we haven't gotten, maybe the literature hasn't caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have to say it, there is a bias in the literature. Nobody is going to fund research that points to a negative outcome for their product.
100%. I don't know why you would.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a $1.8 billion, billion, like B, like boobies, $1.8 billion industry here. So nobody is going to do anything to sabotage that if you're in the recipient's end.
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, you know, we do these podcasts for you guys to just learn a little bit more about what's out there. We've taken the time to read and listen and research, and we practice a lot of the things that we talk about, and we want you guys to know as much as you can. So when you're making those decisions, and if you have questions on it, please go ahead and put them on the questions or comment box. Send us messages, look for us on Instagram. We both have YouTube channels. Let us know what you want to listen what you want to learn about, and we're here for you. We'll check it out.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.